meeting creators and consumers. In this case, the consumers, you know, you pay taxes to fund healthcare research, and you pay for healthcare, which buys drugs. Creators here are the scientists carrying out basic research, and the companies that turn research into treatment. So that about this system that exists, there are various problems in its current incantation. So firstly, new drugs aren't developed for a variety of areas. You look, the bias is towards things which sell a lot, have a good market, but have no therapeutic benefit as opposed to drugs for neglected diseases. This structure of giving a market monopoly to the people who are selling the drugs affects access, and that affects people in both developed countries and developing countries. From a scientist's point of view, there's just the question of once you have a marketing monopoly that relies on IPR, the whole influence of IPR on the system has negative effects on science because it just makes it harder to do research. So this is the patent thicket problem, inhibiting research. A lot of academic groups are becoming concerned about this. And then this entire system is just not very efficient. If you just measure what's going on, the amount of money that's being spent, only 10% of the sales price goes into R&D. In terms of the way it's structured, you can look at it like this in a graphic. Your payments, most of your payments are going via sales prices, and some of that is going back to fund R&D. So that's the framework. And generic drug production, which is much cheaper, is kind of out on a corner and isn't allowed while a monopoly pricing structure is in place. So what can we do about this? Well, there are a lot of interesting things that are going on right now. Firstly, there are these PPPs that have been set up, philanthropy funding direct research, and what's coming out of that is looking quite promising. So there's actually now some evidence saying you don't need to rely on the market, you can have a different way of supporting R&D. The internet is really changing the way scientists communicate what's possible in terms of information exchange and efficiencies of research. And the whole aspect of how many people are affected by the gaps in research, you know, 30,000 people dying a day as a result of treatments that they could, there is a treatment for, but they just don't have access for, it's becoming such a large effect that there's growing political recognition that something's going to have to be done. Now, what can be done in terms of a model to change this? Well, this is the sort of thing that we've been talking about. Rather than the model I showed before, can you split the market? Can you have a sales-based market based on generics and a directly funded market, funded in some sort of way that supports research? Decouple this marketing monopoly aspect. Now, if you do that, you know, the kind of global context, all the discussions have been so far around IP mechanisms, except in the G8 where there has been some discussion about direct funding. And one of the reasons for that is the worry that, you know, if you fund research directly, it becomes, you get a free riding effect. So can you address this in a global context and address free riding? So we think it's possible, because if you go and analyze what countries are spending, you can kind of say, well, you know, currently under the current model, they're all spending roughly 0.1% on R&D through sales of drugs, because pretty much every country seems to be spending 1% of their GDP on drug purchases. So you could turn that round and turn it into a treaty structure which says that every country contributes to R&D in a different set of ways, but as long as they make a certain minimum percentage, they're not free riding anymore, and you can use something different than just having strong intellectual property around the world, strong marketing monopolies. So that's the kind of idea. Where has this got politically? There's been a lot of debate at the World Health Organization. The kind of origin of this debate has been the Commission for Intellectual Property and Innovation and Public Health that was set up as a result of the World Health Assembly in 2003. This year, we've had that report come out. Before that, we had a proposal from Kenya and Brazil. The debate around these resolutions is kind of what should such a resolution cover? Should it just be neglected diseases, or should it be all R&D that's encompassed by some sort of global change in the way that these things are supported? But what we've got out of it is a resolution that's been approved which sets up an intergovernmental working group. So there's kind of progress towards the idea that some sort of large change is needed. Now, so that's all the background political stuff. I just want to say, how many minutes have I got?
Many, about four.
4 minutes. Okay, so I'm now going to briefly say a bit of scientific stuff about openness. Now, if you go and look at the original Kenya-Brazil resolution, you'll see a few things about Human Genome Project, open access to data. So if we're going to make this system work of direct funding, direct support of innovation rather than through marketing monopolies, you have to have efficient mechanisms. And so I show this slide of the genome. There was this big race between public and private, but this had lots of knock-on effects about ideas about what's possible in public funding or direct funding of some sort. One of the things that came out of this is idea that actually companies might even fund open access data, and you know, here's 12 companies that went and funded some data to be put into the public domain. They spent $3 million each. Why did they do this? The argument that they give is that it's actually, you get the more people analyzing a block of data, the more valuable it is. It was actually more valuable to them to have all of the scientific community looking at this data and helping interpret it for them than having a private set. Of course, the internet changes the context. As soon as you have open data, that's helping to create a level playing field because anybody can get access to that as long as they've got internet connectivity. Another aspect of openness in science is this push towards open publication. Data is one thing, publication is another key thing. There's been this gradually sort of permeating thing for authors realizing that actually it's getting harder and harder to get at even their own publications. Even funding agencies can't afford to subscribe to all the journals. And again, the internet comes to the rescue because suddenly it means you don't have to ship books around the world. One interesting thing is a Wellcome Trust actually, you can't see the slides, but the Wellcome Trust actually paid for some business analysis of this. There's two reports if you want. The guy from the EU wanted evidence. Well, here's two bits of evidence, quite carefully analyzed business arguments.